Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this thing going. My name is Tanner Dawson of the Sports Buffoons. Of course, we're joined with the other buffoons of Mike and JG.
What's up, yay, guys? Yay. Yay, yay.
Yo, here to do it once again, of course, as usual.
We're back at it. Week two of the NFL season.
I like your jersey, by the way, Tanner.
You like it? Hey, yes,
like this. No, not that I like it that much, but I mean, you finally got yourself a KU jersey.
Got myself a KU jersey.
First time in your life.
I'm excited for it. It is Daniels, who finished off with a big game last Friday, and who will continue it against the worst team probably in the NCAA this week. So excited for it here, of course, going at it. Guys, what are we sipping on?
Oh, well, JG, what do you got first?
Well, we're going to start off. We started off with the, what are those Imperial Stouts called that I had?
Oh, the Prairie earlier. Bomb, of course.
We started off with the Prairie Bomb. Now we're switching over to the Godfather, which is amazing.
What night is loaded. This? Wednesday? Friday? Saturday?
But you have
every
to
day
understand.
Is a Friday if you really believe in yourself.
You have to understand, Tanner, we were sober for the entire month of August. So that's why I did the Imperial Stout, Prairie Bomb, switching to the Godfather. After that, switching over to the Buzz Balls. And hey, I'm spending the night at your house, just so you know.
Oh, wait, he's going to pull a mic.
Well, that's fine, because you can come with me. I got to let some trash cans out afterwards.
So oh, yeah.
We're going to go on a road trip.
Shoot, I didn't even do that last week.
Mike, what you got?
Oh, I got myself a little Watkins, like orange bourbon whiskey or something like that. I have not tried it yet, so here's my first sip. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I like that. See, orange and bourbon go really good together.
It does.
Like, orange flavor does.
But that's like the good perfect combos. Amount of right orange kick.
Oh, that's good. But here's the thing. So I remember one time when I had that that old whiskey, the peanut butter whiskey crap.
Yeah.
And I think I've told this probably before on the show, but I remember I drank a lot of it one night. And the next morning, and I was really into fitness at the time, which I probably should get back to. But I was going to go for a run the next morning, and I did. I got on the treadmill in my apartment gym at the time, and just start running about 2 miles. Well, about half a mile in, I have peanut butter pouring out of my damn soul. It is just nasty, like peanut butter smelling. I smelt like straight peanut butter. It was disgusting. We used to have this Indian lady that would come in smelling like curry every fucking workout, and it was disgusting. And I'm sorry, you'd walk in, it smells like straight onions. When you walk in, you go, I'm not going to work out today. You know, or you would know if she's been in there, you could just smell the fucking lingering scent of her being in there. I felt like I was that guy, with peanut butter. Dogs would have loved me that day. Bring your dogs to the gym, boys.
You would have had them all over you.
Oh, that would have been a wild thing. So, anyways, the peanut butter whiskey and me have not gotten together since then. But the orange thing here, I don't know, first time I ever tried it. I would probably get it. I'd probably buy it.
You'd probably do it. Yeah. It's good. It was really good. You got it on a sale. You know, it's impressive. I got me some Waterloo sparkling water. Like I said, I got to drive after this for a little quick errand. So excited for it. Guys, we got a great show lined up. Of course, we're going to talk Chiefs. We'll give our reactions to last week, give our takes here for week two. Maybe talk a little T Swift quietly with Kelsey. Then, of course, we'll talk a little fantasy football overrated or underrated, a little game I got put together, and we'll finish it out, of course, with our easy money bets of the week. We'll give you the recap of how we did week one of the NFL season. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, and follow. Help support the channel. Appreciate you. JG, let's get into it, dude.
Right quick, before you start, Tanner, I was driving next to somebody on the road today as I was coming over here, and I saw this guy. He was wearing leather driving gloves. And I was like, what the hell is that? I'd never seen this before in my life. It actually kind of pissed me off. Like, who in the fuck does this kind of shit? Like, have you guys ever seen somebody wear driving gloves on the road? Because I'd never seen it before in my life. And I'm still pissed off. Like, does he think he's like better than everybody else, or like I don't understand this shit.
Normally,
it's like a fetish, right? Is it like a fetish? Oh, look at me! I've got fucking driving gloves.
It's normally like high maintenance men who are more prissy, or psychos. could be psychos. a lot of times, it's
definitely high maintenance. I would give you that.
I think I've seen homosexuals wear driving gloves. I think,
see,
that's
but see, I don't mind that though. But that I don't. The guy that I was driving next to, he did not look like.
I'm still going sideways.
He didn't look like he was homosexual, which, by the way, that's great. Well, if they want to have their driving gloves,
driving gloves, you want to keep your hands soft for some reason. And, you know, normally it's for just making sure everyone else is having a good time.
Stop with that bullshit.
Hey, like it soft and lubricated. That's probably what he's going for. Yeah. All right. Be my guest, Tanner. Move on to the show. Man,
what a transition that is. Hey, guys, let's talk about a little Chiefs here. Jason, before we really dig into week one reaction, week two thoughts here, let's talk about it. The news broke of the quiet seeing each other, T. Kells, T. Swift. A little deal going on. By the way, in case you don't remember, Kelce got essentially denied. Taylor Swift never responded back to him. And all of a sudden, the stash happens. And then the injury happens last week during practice in knee extension. Jason has some wild theories here. So, Jason, I'll let you take it away here on the T-Swift, T-Kelce.
So, I'm going to give you my initial knee-jerk reaction first, and then I'm going to tell you what I really think, because I think when you get to week one in the NFL, it's all about knee-jerk reactions. And that's kind of the theme of week one. Yeah. People take things to the extreme and they worry about things that aren't really going to happen. And so my knee-jerk reaction here was, I'm like, the guy got injured, right? So yeah, Kelce got injured.
And Freddie Andy Reid
couldn't even play in week one. And so my knee-jerk reaction was just like, and you guys know me well enough. I've said this shit before. I mean, even when Mahomes got married, I got scared shitless. So when I first saw this come out, I was like, well, if those two are messing around or what have you, like, is that the reason why Kelce got injured? You know, like, were did he not have his legs underneath him? I mean, were they fucking around too much? Is that the reason why he got injured? And now we're not going to have 100% Travis Kelce for the whole season with the Chiefs. And it kind of freaked me out, but that was my knee jerk reaction. Then when I really got down to it, I was just kind of like, you know what? At some point, if you get a shot, if you get one shot, like Eminem in 8 Mile, you only get one chance. And that one chance is with Taylor Swift. Then by all means do it. So like I have nothing against Trav at this point. Like, he can do whatever he wants in his personal life. And if he's going to start being with Taylor Swift, man, like I'm to the point now where I'm like, I'm all in on that shit. I would love to see that shit, because I think it's great for the news cycle, great for the NFL, great for both of their careers. And they'll probably, you know, they'll be the next, what do we call it? A power couple. I want to see another power couple.
Power couple.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce be together for 10 years before they get a divorce. And who knows what happens after that. But I was excited about it, man.
Anybody.
I was excited. So, like, knee-jerk reaction, I was pissed, but now I'm happy about it. And I hope they can make, like, some sort of a long-term relationship out of this.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if that's the case. I mean, we know Taylor Swift's history. She's been with John Mayer and many, many others that I can't even sit there and name for you guys. And she's written songs about and stuff like that. But I primarily want to know when this first occurred, because did it occur, you know, before the knee injury? Is this a more recent thing where she's been nursing him back to health, if you know what I'm saying? Or is this a thing that went on? Because, I mean, here's the thing. He was in training camp up until not that long ago. At what point did they find the fucking time between her touring and him training camp? Whoa,
now. There are no dates in September or October for Taylor Swift. She had the VMAs last weekend. Yesterday.
So Swift has been free lately.
Free, right? I'm sure she has other publicity.
Well, she ain't going to St. Joe, so they didn't meet there.
Well, they didn't meet there. But remember, T. Swift came here for a two-night concert series, and that's right. When T. Kells threw out his
But that was back in August?
That was August.
Okay.
Yeah. July.
Oh, okay. So they would have met up. Honestly, I bet they met up at some point in the last 2 weeks. I bet that's it was somewhat pretty recent. So she heard about the podcast.
Mexico or SoFi?
I don't know. What do you mean?
So in August, she was in SoFi for 6 nights, And then she went to Mexico for another 4 nights August.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that would have. No, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that was going to be a thing there. I think that's been within the last 2 weeks that they've.
That's what I'm thinking.
That they've met up at some point. So I mean, honestly, guys, it's probably nothing. It's probably not going to be anything. In fact, when does the New Heights episode come out?
Let's see here. I think it just dropped.
Because they're going to be talking about this on the show. You know they will. Travis is a very
16 hours ago it dropped. So.
Oh, it did. So I wonder.
Status update, Jason's ugly week one, and Roger's injury.
So. Now here's the thing. If it's not talked about,
it's not because on that one. It'll be next week.
But if it's not talked about, it's because Taylor Swift has told him not to talk about it.
Did we figure out how it dropped anyways, how it got leaked?
Some doofus on Twitter posted it out there, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know really how it got, like who released the information.
I didn't listen to the podcast.
It got leaked by someone on social media.
So Cosmopolitan saying, despite the rumors over the internet, they are not in a relationship.
No, I agree with that. Well, I think they met up.
But that's exactly what you would want to be put out there if you were in a relationship. Like that's what you're going to put out there. But bottom line for me, guys, I'm here for it, man. I want to see that shit. But if you're going to be fooling around, for God's sake, don't do it, you know, on a Saturday or Friday and get that shit over with on a Tuesday so that we can get a full Travis Kelce.
I got a feeling they met up.
Not a full chub.
The day before he injured his knee. The day before he hyperextended his knee is when they met up. When they met up.
That's fine.
I don't.
That's fine. But that was.
Girl, they weaken the knees.
They do.
And next thing you know, you're going out to play football and you're not there 100%.
What's up, Hunter?
You spent 3 hours the night before. Look, going around.
They do weaken the knees. However,
I don't
you can schedule that shit to the point where it's as far away from Sunday as possible.
If you're Taylor Swift and you got Travis Kelce there, you're taking it when you can get it.
I don't believe this.
Because he wanted it all along anyway.
No. I don't believe that this Taylor and Travis has anything relationship-wise going on.
There's no relationship.
It's not Travis's type. She's not Travis's type.
First of all, Travis is a happy single man.
Did we watch Catching with Kelce for nothing?
He runs around town.
Do we not remember Catching for Kelce?
Running through the hose. What?
Remember Catching for Kelce?
Of course.
The final two girls.
What about him?
The freaking smoking hot blonde got rejected.
I know.
For
And he did her the night before.
He did. And
he don't give a fuck.
It's not his type.
You don't. No. You have no clue. No clue what his type is.
His type.
Actually, we kind of do know what his type is.
He kind of, you know, I'm not trying to sound any racism here, but darker skinned girls.
He likes T-Swift, but his type is darker skinned girls.
That's why he chose that one girl on Catching Kelce.
That's fine.
I don't believe
I like the blonde girl better on that show.
I did too, man. I was so mad at Travis.
I was like, damn, Travis. All right, then.
Why would you do that?
She seemed cool too. And sporty, all that kind of stuff.
Sporty, cool.
Yeah, what was the issue?
Wasn't dark skin.
Exactly. No,
that's fine. I would love to see.
I'm just putting it out there. It's the truth. Oh, man. All right, let's get into it, guys. Let's get into it.
Are we going to have a real topic today or just a bunch?
That was the most real topic of the day.
Well, that's the one. One of our producers.
Oh, the producer wanted that.
Suggested.
Okay. All right.
True.
Anyways, let's talk week one, guys. We had a disappointing loss last Thursday night against the Detroit Lions. It was, 21-20? Is that right? Remember that right?
I think it was, yeah.
21-20?
21-20 sounds right.
So there was 15 drops, I believe. Six.
They said there was 8 drops officially.
8 official drops. Okay, so it came down. 8 official drops. Talk about Sky Moore playing the most snaps in a wide receiver. 3 targets, no receptions. Talking about Kadarius Toney's pick 6, dropped pick 6 that was perfectly placed. The disappointment in the offense versus the defense, missing Chris Jones, missing Travis Kelce. Guys, I needed the takes here. What did we take away from week one, and what are we expecting this turnaround in week two? Mike, I'll let you take it away.
It's a lot of frustration, obviously, coming off week one. Mainly just walking into that game and really having it what we felt like going into halftime under control at the time. That was probably the most frustrating part. Obviously, we felt confident in preseason, in training camp, and saying, hey, these wide receivers have a lot of talent. We are now seeing what they're capable of. We're seeing Rashee Rice make some plays. We saw the red zone ability of Justin Ross. We felt good about, you know, just kind of where the receiving group was at, despite the fact we were going into the season with a lot of unknowns. Sky Moore didn't do shit in preseason, didn't do shit in week one. Not to be surprised. I'm not surprised whatsoever. He was never a guy I wanted in the first place. But, you know, I think that what we found out at the end of the day was that Kadarius Toney should have probably never been playing in that game in the first place either, because that guy didn't play at all from training camp up until that point throughout this whole thing. And they plugged him in there saying, hell, he's healthy to go, which maybe he was, but was he adjusted to being in the rhythm of the offense? Was he adjusted to being in football rhythm, adjusted to taking a hit, you know, stuff like that? You can't practice that in practice. It doesn't work the same way as in a real game. And that's why he went out there and had the worst game of his career with four drops. And
yes,
and one of them was a pick six. So, I mean, it's frustrating to watch that unfold. It's also frustrating to watch Marquez Valdes-Scantling go out there and
he made one big play,
lay an egg, right? Good for one big play.
The
highest paid receiver on this roster right now, and yet you're on the field half the time, and you make one nice play down the field.
That's it,
and that's it, and your time's up. I mean, that's the stuff that's frustrating. Is that we brought him in here for what? What was the reason? You know, to stretch the field, maybe. Or just to have a guy because we needed a guy at the time.
Have a guy.
And it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me about how all that went down. I mean, maybe it was because Tyreek Hill was going to be gone. And we just wanted to have somebody that had some speed. Rashee Rice, though. I mean, I'm really happy to see he had a couple decent catches, of course.
Are we concerned, though? Because it was the third game in a row where his first attempt, his first target was dropped.
I can't still make that a concern. Okay. It's going to be an issue if it continues. And I remember the exact player referring to. But at the end of the day, he had a really nice run after catch later in the game. Caught the touchdown, obviously. I think that he's a guy, he's a rookie, first of all, man. It's his first game first legitimate game in his career. I don't want to give him too much crap. I mean, the guy looks to be the part and is going to be, I think, a part of this team for quite a long time and be more impactful than other guys we had on this team a year ago that were rookies. But no, it's frustrating because we saw this thing unfold. We saw Chris Jones wasn't playing, and we saw the defense come in and step up and only allow two touchdowns throughout the entire game. And it should have been enough. It should have been enough for the NFL's number one offense.
You held the number five
and then
number one, the number five offense from last year to 14 points.
Right. And why are you starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back and handing him the ball twice in the first opening series? You make no sense.
You start Tony.
No sense.
You throw it to Tony, what, four times? And you, instead of giving Pacheco the ball, you give Clyde the ball because you're like, maybe he's not fully healthy yet.
But then you end up just plugging in Pacheco anyway. Pacheco's fine.
So
Pacheco's not an issue. I mean, his health is 100% fine. Clyde Edwards-Helaire starting in the last 100 attempts is averaging like 3 yards a carry.
So let's talk about this here real quick here. The play calling in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter.
It's bad.
The fourth downs. Well, it was fourth and one. They brought in Blake Bell to take the snap. Instead of just running, sneaking it in and like you should have, you hand it off to Rice on the end around. Like the Lions weren't preparing for a classic Andy Reid play. Yes. What?
Guys, this will never go away.
Is this a concern? Because everybody was related back to Matt Nagy coming into it, making the call. But we know it's not Matt Nagy. This is a classic Reid.
Classic Andy Reid. Andy Reid's calling the plays.
Yeah.
Just as he has been all along throughout this whole time in Kansas City, despite the fact he wanted to try to play at one point. Oh, the enemy calls him playing.
The enemy's got it.
No, it's the fact is that Andy Reid can't get out of his own way. And so that's going to be what he does forever from here on out. He can never. How about this? When you get down to the 2 yard line or 1 yard line, line up an I freaking formation, put in three tight ends. If you have to put it, you know, do two tight ends and make a makeshift fullback
and run the damn ball Real quick, before we get back on the Chiefs, we do have a comment because he needs to set his lineup before he heads to bed here. Hunter Ayer says, I'm sorry to be off topic, but I don't have much time and I need to set my lineup. The PPR, two receiver, one flex. Yes, Allen, Debo, Pickens, Dotson, Flowers, Lockett, Dylan, Jalen Warren. Who does he start?
So we're, are we picking two of these players?
We're picking two.
Two out of this group, right?
Yes, correct. So he actually needs three. So he needs two receivers and a flex.
And one flex. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so for me on this one, I mean, I got to go. I mean, shoot. You got Pickens on there.
Well, you got to remember, Deontay Johnson is ruled out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Now. Yes. Calvin Austin will be getting now the Deontay Johnson. Correct. Well-deserved, by the way.
Correct.
You guys know I'm a Calvin Austin fan.
I like Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers,
Zay Flowers is, I think, my number one out of that whole list.
I'd say Zay. I think you can't go wrong with Allen or Debo either in this one. I mean, gosh.
Rest of, I mean, A.J. Dillon, right? So would you put A.J. Dillon in there since Aaron Jones is not 100%?
Not in the PPR. I would still do three receivers in this.
For sure. For sure. So in PPR, you want to stick the receivers. So Zay Flowers is a great option.
I think we go Flowers, probably Pickens.
Keenan Allen, though.
And Allen.
Got to go Keenan Allen. So you're going Pickens over Debo.
I am. Just because of the fact that you had Deontay out and you had, 8 points PPR-wise for Pickens last week. Now that Deontay's out. But then again, it's also Steelers-Browns, and Browns looked really good on defense last week.
Yeah, honestly, I think we're seeing kind of a slow fade away with Debo Samuel lately.
IU took most of those targets and receptions.
Well, he had the two touchdowns in that game. I like Pickens. You guys know I think Pickens is amazing. So, yeah, I like Zay Flowers without a doubt, Keenan Allen without a doubt. And then from there, George Pickens, which is crazy to say over Debo Samuel.
It is.
No, I'd go Pickens.
You're going to go Pickens too?
For sure.
There you go, Hunter.
Okay.
Thanks for the question. Appreciate it.
Now, JG, what are your thoughts on Chiefs week one real quick?
Yeah, no, the whole Blake Bell shit. I mean, I heard so many people talk a bunch of shit on that. I just feel like it's one of those things where, yeah, we're never going to get rid of the play, but I think that it's kind of a regular season play. And I'm getting to the point where like Andy Reid is smart enough where we're never going to see that shit in the playoffs. Like when the money's really on the line. And so it's just one of those things where, yeah, we might have to deal with it from time to time in the regular season. But for me, I'm with you.
When the game's on the line, you're here to win the game and that you're not winning games with those calls.
I think it was a brain fart on his part. I honestly think it was.
Many he does brain this fart. Every time. Like normal Andy Reid.
He's done this in week 15 before.
He's got to get rid of
the playoffs too.
Yeah.
This is what he does. So this is what Andy Reid does. He gets rid of all of his shitball plays early in the season. And then he saves the really, really good plays for late in the season in the playoffs. Does that not sound logical to you?
With Andy Reid, he's got such a big ego. Love him to death, guys. I love him to death. He's got such a big ego. He goes into every single game plan and goes, I'm going to outsmart them so fucking hard that they won't see this coming. And then you run the damn play and boom.
But that's not true, though. But you
all the time.
You cannot outsmart the other team if they pull Travis Kelce, they pull the rug out from under you with a couple days left. You don't have the same amount of time to prep for that game without Kelce as you normally do for week one. Or if you're going into a bye week and all of a sudden, like you've prepped for this game for God knows how long. And all of a sudden, oh, I don't have Travis Kelce.
No.
What do I got to do?
Difference.
I got to do a play with Blake
Bell.
You're
in week one, Jason.
You know?
Week one, you just got rid of preseason. You can't tell me those guys after preseason.
But when
preseason,
you don't have Kelce, when you
that
don't
doesn't
have Kelce.
Matter. That's zero matter. There's zero matter into that because you're just coming off three preseason games.
Hear me out. When you don't have Kelce, it changes everything. It changes the play calling. It changes the receiver's mentality. You know, we're sitting here bitching about all these drops.
He would have called that play with or without Kelce.
That's fine. But we're sitting here bitching about all these drops and how shitty the receivers were. They didn't have their leader in that game.
Oh, God.
Travis Kelce is the leader of that receiving core. He's not, you know, I know he's a tight end or what have you. Those guys look up to him, and you guys
are
fucking
shitting me right now.
They do. He's the fucking leader.
What's your point when it comes to play calling? Isn't that what their topic is right now? Play calling.
No, it partly was, but he was talking about Travis Kelce being the leader.
No, I'm just saying like he's the leader. He's the leader of the receiving corps, and that's one of the reasons why the receiving corps shit the bed.
Oh.
So
here's what I will say about that is that the routes he runs are so terrific when it comes to identifying the defense that, yes, it might allow some receivers to get more open on certain plays because of the route he runs and the attention he draws. You put in Noah Gray, no one gives a damn. Travis Kelce draws a lot of extra attention,
okay,
which could have gotten Sky Moore one catch, maybe. You know, that would have been kind of cool to see out of 30-plus routes run. So,
draws all of the attention.
What I mean is that what you're saying is that how he's the leader, he makes the receivers better.
I'm understanding.
But it's because I'm trying to speak for him here. Trying to help his point. It's because him being on the field alone helps open up things for the rest of the receivers rather than this went into this game. The defense didn't give a damn about Noah Gray, what the hell he's doing. Just
like Bell does,
blanket
matter.
Those receivers out there, whoever they want to throw out there, and
you can your play. Job. My point is, you can play everybody straight up. You don't have to worry about the superstar on the field, which is Travis Kelce. And when you're playing everybody straight up, man for man, like you've got guys like Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, I mean Rashee Rice, they can shit the bed because now it's every man for himself.
Yeah. All right. Let's see the injury report going into week two here on this Wednesday. That Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice today. He has an illness. Chris Jones.
You know, he's had a lot of illness. He sounds like me when I'm really getting pissed off in my work. I'll have a lot of illnesses whenever I'm unhappy with my workplace.
We got Chris Jones, who rested yesterday, limited practice today. Travis Kelce, limited. L'Jarius Sneed was limited. Richie James, full practice with a knee. Nick Jones, full practice with a hand. Kadarius Toney, full practice with a knee. Tershawn Wharton, full practice with a knee. Jags did not state what their report are, but Antonio Johnson, the safety, has a hamstring issue. Tyler Lacy with the hip for D-line. Brandon Scherff. Scherff, ankle, offensive line there. Gregory Jr., hamstring, and then Luke Fortner, offensive line, ankle.
I can't believe Brandon Scherff's still in the league.
I did not know he was.
That dude.
For some reason, I just forgot
still?
About him.
You know, he's like, he reminds me of my childhood for some reason because he's been around so long.
I feel like he's a Peyton Manning guy. That's where I think him.
He played at Iowa back in the day and just kind of like hung around the league forever. But at one point was like looked at as like
he was
the
top,
next great
right?
thing. And
he was top at least for a year or two. So.
All right. He's been okay.
So, guys, we got the Jags coming in Sunday at noon. Actually, we're going to Jacksonville Sunday at noon in Duval.
It's tough, Stadium. Man. The Jaguars, as you guys know, are one of my favorite teams this year.
Think about it, though. They had a slow start on Sunday versus the Colts, and they kind of picked it up about the fourth quarter. They really turned it up, and they started looking really good. Calvin Ridley did early on, had a lot of targets. He was a main weapon for Trevor Lawrence out there. Jason, I'll start with you on it. Jaguars, Chiefs, what are we looking at? What's kind of your expectation in this game?
I mean, I think the Jags got the win last week, so they should be coming into this game with a lot of confidence. The Chiefs, on the other hand, getting Chris Jones back and presumably Travis Kelce back, should have 2 to 3x the amount of confidence that Jacksonville has coming into this game. And so for me, I mean, Jacksonville's probably going to lose, you know, but. Like to me, this is like it's kind of a pick'em game, but at the same time, I think like the Chiefs have a lot to prove here. They need to take care of business.
Yeah.
And so I think this is definitely, we'll call it a Chiefs. Chiefs are going to get the job done, I think.
Okay. Chiefs are favored 3.5 as of this afternoon. Mike, what's your thoughts on this game?
It's a tough one. And the reason I say that, I mean, the Chiefs have a lot to prove right now, coming off the offensive performance they had last week. And, you know, seeing them kind of adjustments come into play. Travis Kelce, does he play the full game or is he used in special packages? We don't know quite yet. Obviously, he's still trying to let that knee heal up. We need him for the long haul. Same time, you don't want to start off 0-2. So, I mean, I think he'll use him whenever you really need him to be a part of the offense.
Right.
But I want to see better play calling from the Chiefs in this game without a doubt. Because I was pretty frustrated last week with some of the play calls. Patrick Mahomes went out there and played his heart out, you guys. And that bothered me. It bothers me so much, honestly, because I love the fact that we drafted Patrick Mahomes so freaking much. I mean, the day we drafted him, I was so excited. I grabbed you by the shoulders. I told people in the bar, we're going to win a Super Bowl with this man.
I almost collapsed on the floor.
I don't know when if I cried there or later, but I cried at some point that night. And I was so excited. But for us to have a guy like this who just shows up game in, game out, and plays at such an elite level, and even his losses have been a joke in a lot of ways. Normally it's a defense failing him. Well, this time it was literally his own offense failing
him. His weapons.
I mean, it disappoints me so much to see him go out there and play an amazing game. And Mahomes really did play an amazing game, did an amazing job with what he had to work with. We need to freaking always step up for him. No reason to have these lackluster receivers that can't freaking catch a ball and this and that. And I mean, and then the shitty play calling. I mean, come on. You got the best quarterback in the entire world that we maybe have ever seen on a football field. And yeah, we're going to do some dumb shit here and there. Anyways, it's frustrating. But regardless, the Jaguars are a great team, you guys. I'm saying that right now.
They are.
They're going to win the AFC South. And I love Trevor Lawrence. You know, I think that the year three for him is going to become his year, similar to what Peyton Manning did back in the day. Because if you remember Peyton Manning's year one as a rookie, he led the league in interceptions. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence also had a really struggled rookie year. Year two took a huge leap up. Year three is where Peyton Manning went into elite mode. I see Trevor Lawrence following the exact same path with an amazing receiver group, kind of like Peyton Manning had at the time. And I love Calvin Ridley. I think it's awesome. He's back in the league and catching touchdowns.
He looks good.
You know, putting up almost 100 yards last week. And just the other receivers in that organization right now is great.
Zay Jones out here being a monster last week.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, maybe their defense could work on some things, but Chiefs defense has their hands full. Chris Jones is back, but I don't know. Is he going to show up and put up two sacks? I don't know. I'll be surprised. I think it's going to be a dogfight, you guys. It's not going to be easy whatsoever. Patrick's got to be careful. This is a really, really good Jaguars team, and I don't even want to pick a winner or loser in this one.
I couldn't say it any better, guys. These guys nailed everything when I was thinking off the top of the head. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a nail-biter, but it's going to be a fun game to watch at noon on Sunday. Let's give our picks here. Spread's at 3.5, Chiefs favorite. The total over-under is 51.5. JG, we'll start with you.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to – are you doing the over-under, or are you just –
A score. Give me a score and who wins.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, I would go probably kind of a general score. I wouldn't say like high scoring or low scoring. I'd probably say something in the range of 27 to 24.
Okay.
And I'm with Mike. I'm not going to tell you who's going to win because I don't want to jinx him.
You think something that matters is going
to
happen?
It sounds like I'm going to make a pick. I know you don't want to. I don't want to either. I'm going to go 27-26 Jaguars to win.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
27-26 Jags.
I like that.
Yes.
27-24 Jags.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Because if we all pick the Jags, then we can kind of use some reverse psychology on their asses.
I think we see a little bounce back here in this game here. I'm going to go first 30 wins. So I'm going to go 30-28. Chiefs,
which one. Means I think we all picked the over, did we? 51,
correct.
I know I did on my pick. You did. What was your
27-24?
I had 27-24,
so barely on the over. Okay, yeah. We all got the over then, I guess.
And you get that minus 105 on FanDuel, best bet. So
yeah, the other thing about Trevor Lawrence, I think we're gonna find out this year whether or not if we do a redraft, you know, we get to pick the top five quarterbacks in the entire NFL, we're going to figure out if Trevor Lawrence is in that top five, because I think there's a very good chance that he is in the top five quarterbacks in the league, but yeah, we're going to find out this year.
You know, we're going to be speaking about that here in just a second, actually. So it'll be kind of cool. All right, guys, that was our Chiefs talk, Chiefs picks. If you liked it, make sure you guys put your predictions down below in the comments. Make sure you guys hit that like and subscribe button as well. All right, let's get into it, guys. A little fantasy football coming into play. We're going to do a little overreaction, underreaction. I'm going to give you a couple names. I'm going to throw out an ESPN-style headline. And I'm going to let you guys decide if that's an overreaction, underreaction, or appropriate. So let's get into it. We're going to break it down by position here. I'll give you two quarterbacks, two running backs, two receivers, and one tight end. And then we'll move on. So let's talk about it here. And of course, you got to start here. with none other than Mr. Under 100 Yards himself, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow finishing as the 31st quarterback in fantasy this last week. Only one worse was Joshua Dobbs at 32. Okay, this is down in the ranks of Dak, and Ryan Tannehill was down there. Joe Burrow is not a top five fantasy quarterback this year. Overreaction, underreaction, appropriate. Mike, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say appropriate as far as to where he's because your question was he's not a top five quarterback,
top
right?
five fantasy quarterback.
Can I say I agree with that statement?
Yeah.
So I agree with that statement. So to me, it's appropriate to state that. And the reason is not that I think this is a overreaction by any means. I think that, first of all, he played against a great Browns team that has the Bengals number in every single way you can imagine. I mean, the Browns have just been very dominant over the Bengals over the last 6-7 years, it seems like. But at the same time, I think that, you know, teams can adjust to guys like Joe Burrow. He does not play outside the scheme of the offense the same way certain other guys can. And that's what makes you special in a lot of ways. I think that Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. But when I look at the quarterbacks this year, you guys already know I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence in my top five, Patrick Mahomes in my top five, Jalen Hurts in my top five. We only got room for two more there and left on my list. So I don't know that Josh Allen Joe Burrow can make that top five on my list there for fantasy quarterbacks, especially when you're not a running quarterback, because he's for the most part kind of a statue.
What do you got?
So you're saying he's not top five.
So
Joe Burrow.
He's ranked 31st right now in quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
And at the end of the year, the headline is at the end of the year, Joe Burrow is not a top five fantasy quarterback.
And you guys are both in agreement with that.
I'm in agreement, yeah.
On fantasy.
What do you got?
Ooh. That's tough, man. I gotta go with my gut on here. Because we all know in terms of if you just take fantasy out of it, we all know he's top two with Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to give him top four.
He owns Patrick Mahomes in terms of
Jalen Hurts deserves to have a word.
Okay. He owns. I know it's difficult. It's difficult to hear these words, but Joe Burrow owns Patrick Mahomes terms of, you know, team against team in their careers. And so I'm not comfortable saying that. I think that's a total overreaction. And I think as long as Burrow is healthy, which I'm assuming he is right now, absolutely, he is a top five quarterback in the league and also a top five quarterback in fantasy at the end of the season.
I like it. I agree with Mike, though. I don't think he is. I think he's just hanging out there between that 5, 6, and 10 range somewhere, because he does have the weapons to be one, but doesn't mean he's going to be there. So next up, quarterback-wise, you want to say it for me? Tua, you want to say his name? Say it.
Tagovailoa.
There it is. He's currently ranked number one in quarterback in fantasy PPR, full PPR fantasy points for quarterbacks currently at number one. Mac Jones is 2, Jordan Love 3, Anthony Richardson 4, and Deshaun Watson 5. Tua Tagovailoa will be a top three quarterback in fantasy football, barring any injuries. Jason, we'll start with you.
Barring injuries? No.
Barring injuries.
No, he's not. That's not going to happen. And I know that a lot of people out there, they just don't trust him to stay healthy. But even if the guy is healthy, like, I just don't see it. I just don't trust the guy. I haven't seen enough from him to be top three. You're saying top three in the NFL, top right?
Top three scores, yeah. Because you got, I mean, he has Tyreek Hill, as Jalen Waddle. Mostert, he has Cedric on the slot area.
That's just to me, that's way too many odds to overcome. There's so many good quarterbacks in the AFC in particular. I'm not going to give him top three. I know his accuracy is very accurate quarterback and all that stuff.
He threw a really nice pass to Tyreek in the end zone.
But I don't see it. I'm not going to give him top three. I mean, I would say his ceiling in fantasy would be like top six.
Six. Okay. I can dig with that. What do you got, Mike?
Well, you guys know I hated the Tua slander we heard about 2 years ago. I was sitting there backing him up all along the way. Even rookie year when Tanner was bitching about him, I was telling him, no, this guy's actually pretty good. And, you know, we got to see him have one of his best games of his career, which is awesome. But I also got to look at the big picture here. I got to look at the big picture. I got to look at the competition he's involved with. And the thing is, you said the words that matter the most is that barring injury,
correct.
That's going to be hard to do. And knowing his history, why would we sit there and ever think he's going to play all 17 games in the regular season?
I've already discussed this with you last week, but I'm not going to go into it.
And that's why I take issue with your statement there, barring injury, because
barring injury, plays 15 games. We're week one.
Let me give you an analogy here. Barring injury, Anthony Davis is the greatest center in the history of the NBA. Okay, so you can't throw a statement out there. Well, barring injury,
17 games.
When the motherfucker gets injured every fucking year.
Anyways, I guess I'm just going to say, no, he's not top three. Let's assume he plays every single game this year. And I know the talent there is awesome. I love Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill together. Amazing. It's awesome stuff going on, of course. But I think that there's, first of all, you got your Patrick Mahomes in there. You got your Jalen Hurts. I think Trevor Lawrence has a fight to be top three as well. I think he's going to be just outside of that. I mean, I could see him, if he plays an entire season, doesn't get injured at all, doesn't miss a snap, he could be top five, though.
And I think Josh Allen.
So a slight overreaction. Can I say that?
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to talk about Josh Allen later, but I mean,
I'm not.
This is a prime bounce back moment for him. Like the way that he played in that first game, you got to turn that shit around. So I don't want to talk about it. Well, no, I don't have
Josh Allen. I was playing against the defense.
No, my point is like Josh Allen should be the guy that we should be looking at to be a top five quarterback in fantasy.
Well,
absolutely.
I'll give you that, because the reason I'm keeping two out of the top three is because of the rushing aspect. This guy's not going to be running.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
He had 5 attempts for 5 yards.
He's not a running quarterback.
He's not a running quarterback, and he's especially not a running quarterback now. You know, it's going to be a pocket passer. He had a 10.4 yard average on week one, which is, if he can keep that up, that's
Tua
amazing.
Tua is the wonderful timing quarterback.
Correct.
What I mean by timing, he's one of those guys that is awesome at anticipation. He's awesome at timing routes.
Get the ball out on time. That's awesome. Very important.
And what I mean by that is that he's understanding route concepts very, very well right now. What I mean by that is great anticipation, as if, you know, you got guys that are, you know, shaded a little bit to the right, Tyreek Hill's running a crosser route, you're going to find the hole in the zone. And with anticipation, you'd be literally reaching back, throwing that ball before he even crosses past the defenders. He's great at that, as well as routes that require timing, the hitch routes, you know, the dig routes, stuff like that. He's great at those things.
Yeah, I'm gonna go top five. Oh, I forgot to plug it in. I'll turn it on in a minute. I'm going to go top five, though.
We got a dark show going.
I'll fix it in a minute.
Hey, even the Super Bowl has lights.
Wait. No, it's the dark retreat with Aaron Rodgers, because he's going to have to do another dark retreat before next year.
Welcome to the dark retreat.
So before Mutilit, we'll get to your comment in just a second here.
Let me get the lights back on.
I'm keeping Tua out of the top three. I'm putting him in the top five because I think you're going to have three other quarterbacks that have more of a rushing aspect.
Josh Allen.
Throw the same amount of yards, if not more. So give me Tua on the outside. And I'll let you guys discuss this while I go plug in these lights real quick. He wants to know, PPR, trade away Puka Nacua for DJ Moore.
No, stop. Wait, hold on.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, of course.
The answer is yes. Now, all day long. Here's and two times on Sunday.
Were you offered DJ Moore?
If you're trading away Puka.
What the fucking hell, Tanner?
Absolutely. If they're going to give you DJ Moore, please trade away Puka. Puka is like a one-hit wonder. That team fucking sucks. Okay. I mean, the Bears, a lot of people think they suck too. But
so he was offered DJ Moore. So hell yes, dude. Yes. Absolutely take that deal right away.
Take DJ Moore.
If it's sitting there right now in your queue, like if you're waiting on the decision, take it right now.
100%. I want you to take that deal 7 days a week and twice on Sunday, because DJ Moore actually has something to offer. He has an amazing skill set. Whereas Puka is like a one hit wonder. He's like, his name sounds like Pikachu, who I love. But
that's your picture.
DJ Moore. Unfortunately, Puka is not Pikachu.
One of the most underrated receivers in this league, and has worked with a lot of turd quarterbacks.
Turds.
And you know, we're still waiting to see how Justin Fields develops over time.
Well, yeah. But
what he's done or what he's shown to do in the past, plus what we saw in preseason, DJ Moore 100% is a legitimate receiver. Been around now for what, going into year five or six?
Steve Smith was still around.
Was he?
Yeah.
But not with the Panthers.
Yeah.
When DJ Moore got there?
Yeah. Don't you remember the little, like, he was a rookie and Steve Smith.
Steve Smith went to the Ravens.
Wait, no. I'm sorry. Cam Newton was there. Steve Smith was there visiting and was talking to Cam about the fantasy.
Yes.
Hey, should I pick this guy?
You were trying to blow my mind. You were trying to convince me Steve Smith.
I mean, Steve Smith seemed to like play forever though. So
yes, but he was with the Ravens to finish his career, I believe. But no, DJ Moore, 100%. Get him if you can, man.
Yeah. And to Mike's point, like DJ Moore with all these turd quarterbacks he's been with his whole life, now all of a sudden he's got a good quarterback. Right, we can have that discussion later of what you think about Justin Fields.
Yeah, better than what he's had lately.
However, you can still have a good quarterback and be on a turd offense. Like that's possible. That's a different discussion. But
you can still put up 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Oh yeah,
which is all you really want from DJ Moore.
We're going to talk about later in the season whether or not we think the Bears are going to ruin Justin Fields' career, which is
we'll get into that.
That's a possibility.
Whole different show.
But DJ Moore and himself, absolutely, you do that, dude.
All right, so we're going to do one big deal on running backs right here for overreaction, underreaction appropriate here. Number 30, Isaiah Pacheco. Number 31, Saquon Barkley. Number 32, Josh Jacobs. All three of these running backs finish outside of the top 10. Overreaction, underreaction, appropriate. Mike, you're up.
All three outside of the top 10. No, I disagree with that. I do not think that they all three finish outside the top 10. If anything else, Josh Jacobs will finish inside the top 10. I think he's the most reliable, consistent we can see. We've seen in the past. I think that he's a guy that the Raiders are going to be using him a ton down the stretch of the season, especially given the circumstance they have with their team. I mean, they had a little turd fight of a game over the Broncos, 17-16. That's totally fine.
So bad.
But, you know, Josh Jacobs is going to be getting his own numbers as time goes on. Isaiah Pacheco, I think that he's going to be one of those guys that it just depends on the game script. What the Chiefs want to do that day, because does he have potential to be in the top 10? Yes, if he's given more touches. You know, absolutely. Now, as far as
Saquon,
I see no reason why he wouldn't be, honestly, because that team is, in my opinion, still a mess. I don't care what the record was last year. I don't care about Daniel Jones. He sucks ass.
Bad.
Saquon should be getting a lot of touches. So
sorry about that, Giants fans. it's big dick contract, but sucks.
Saquon should still be in the top 10 at the end of the day. The only one I would really question is probably Pacheco.
Okay. Jason, what do you got?
Yeah. Saquon's definitely below. He's the guy on the outside looking in.
Oh, wow.
In that range. Pacheco, to me, he's like right. He's right on the line. He could go either way for me because of the offense. But I'm with Mike here on Josh Jacobs. I mean, that entire offense is probably not that good, but it all consists of Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. So Josh Jacobs is going to have to get the rock. And so there's no, I just don't see a world in which those three guys are healthy and none of them make the top 10. So I think that's an overreaction, Tanner.
I'm with it. I think you got at least one possible top five guy in Josh Jacobs. I think you got one possible top 10 guy in, or two guys in Saquon and Isaiah there. So week one, we always give the overreaction like we were stating earlier. Here's your overreaction on it. Let's move to receiver here. As we kind of go down the way, I mentioned Deontay Johnson is going to be out for 4 weeks is what the last report I saw was. Number 42 ranked, Calvin Austin III. Possibly surpasses George Pickens in fantasy points by the time Deontay Johnson comes back. Overreaction, appropriate. Underreaction. JG, we'll start with you.
I think it's an overreaction there. I think Pickens is the man. I also think you got Pat Freiermuth there to soak up a lot of those targets. And
you got banged up too.
Is Deontay Johnson? I mean, how long is he going to be out?
Probably 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Could be 6 at the most.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happen. I think that's an overreaction. I mean, at this point, it's all about George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. Those guys are going to soak up the targets at this point.
Mike?
Yeah, for the record, I want to remind you guys that after our fantasy draft was nearing the end, I said a comment to you guys. I said that I just drafted the new Deontay Johnson.
You did.
And that's exactly what Calvin Austin is. He's going to replace what Deontay Johnson's been doing, but do it better, actually catch passes and touchdowns and not drop every ball. But no, the answer is this is a major overreaction because George Pickens is without a doubt the guy.
And currently ranked 49, and Calvin Austin's 42. Just FYI.
What I'm saying is, you know the upside of George Pickens. Calvin Austin's going to put up a few numbers with receptions right now going forward. But no, big overreaction because this game is about size in a lot of ways. When you talk about wide receivers, you got your few and far between where you have the little guys that can make an impact. But this game has been built on guys that are 6'2", 210 pounds for a long time when it comes to touchdowns, when it comes to red zone, when it comes to who's going to be the guy getting open. You know, you want your guys with size. And that's George Pickens. And I think he's the ideal guy for all your red zone threats and putting up your points in fantasy. So he will do better than Calvin Austin, but Calvin Austin is the new Deontay Johnson. And I'll go ahead and say whenever Deontay comes back, Calvin is going to have that job stolen already by that point.
I love that. Look, Calvin Austin III will not surpass George Pickens, but they're going to make it very interesting in that rankings battle. So I like what I see. By the way, I got Calvin Austin 3 leagues before I draft, so I'm pretty pumped about it. I got him on the bench, and he'll sit there for a little bit. So, all right, let's move on to the next receiver here. And Jason will love this one here. Garrett Wilson finishes outside of the top 20 as a top 20 receiver. Jason, I'll let you start with this.
Outside the top 20. Now, I think that's kind of a reach.
Even with A-Rod out?
Yeah, I just feel like Zach Wilson's been there long enough. I know the whole world thinks he's a piece of shit. And I just think that he's been there too long. And, you know, you got mentored by Aaron Rodgers. He's still going to be getting mentored by Aaron Rodgers. And so I just think that Garrett Wilson is too – his skill set is too high. He's too much of a talent to be outside of the top 20. And I think at some point, if that's one of the best weapons on your offense, you're going to make sure that that guy gets the ball. Otherwise, you know, between him and Breece Hall, if those two guys don't get the fucking ball, you're punting the whole year away. And Robert Saleh doesn't seem to me like the type of coach that is going to punt the year away.
Mike?
Yeah, you got to find a way to force feed him in a lot of ways. I mean, I know who the Jets built their roster around what Aaron Rodgers wanted. And that's part of what sucks about this whole situation is that, you know, we have a team and a roster that was literally built halfway by Aaron Rodgers. The guys he liked, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, obviously, you know, he was into certain players on this roster and he asked for them to be a part of the team. And now we're giving those weapons, say Zach Wilson or maybe, you know, who else ever comes along? Who knows this year? But outside the top 20, this is a tough one, man. This is a tough one. I think that he will be just barely on the inside of the top 20 by the end of the year.
Here's my deal with it, right? As a Garrett Wilson owner last year and Zach Wilson was in quarterback, my points were not there. Like, we're talking 5 to 8, maybe 8 on the high side, right? Mike White, Joe Flacco come in, 10 plus, right? Now we're bumping. But as soon as Zach Wilson was in there,
Zach Wilson's bad.
It was very disappointing. And he couldn't get the ball. Now, maybe it is better with Aaron Rodgers being in the room now because he didn't really have a vet presence. Joe Flacco's not a vet presence. I don't care what people say. It's another year with it. I'm hoping for a top 20 finish at best. I think he sits out at the top. I think he's in the top 25.
At some point, you got to run some jet sweeps and run them out of the backfield. I mean, if it's that shitty and you can't get your best players involved, you've got to scheme it. No matter how bad Zach Wilson is, you got to scheme that shit into existence.
The sad story, I'm sure you guys heard, whenever Garrett Wilson saw Aaron Rodgers in the locker room after the injury. And
sorry.
Apparently, the quote was just something along the lines of, you know, Aaron Rodgers apologizing, saying, "I'm sorry, kid.
Sorry, kid."
Basically, letting Garrett Wilson know, like, he wanted to be there to throw him the ball, but it's over. And he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, kid."
Yeah.
And because I know for a fact Garrett Wilson was excited. Mm. Excited as hell to be playing with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, why wouldn't you be? Especially you're 23 years old and, you know, going into year two of your receiving career and ready to put up numbers. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you can with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Now you got freaking Zach Wilson.
And you saw the body language change so fast for Garrett Wilson too. Because he wasn't getting the ball until the third quarter, end of the third quarter, fourth quarter.
It's one of those things, you know, the Jets ruined a lot of careers. We might be seeing them ruin a wide receiver's career as well. So
it was so disappointing.
Frustrating.
But I mean, at some point, if you're Zach Wilson, I mean, at what point do you take ownership and say, "Hey, I was a first round pick. I need to at least be, I do not need to be a star quarterback. No. I need to be a game manager."
You know, can you be Mark Sanchez?
And I need to be a good game manager.
Can you be Mark Sanchez?
Yeah. Can you?
Well, but if
you're all we're asking right now,
if you're Zach Wilson, that's the big question. Can you look yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, "Can I be Mark Sanchez, or am I going to piss the whole fucking thing away?" That's the question.
Are we looking at possibly an Elijah Moore situation happening in Jets world again? You have a top pick wanting out top talent, and because of the franchise, just the state of
I know this is a little off topic, but the Jets team is great.
It is good.
The defense is amazing. I love everything they got going on defensively. The running game over there is probably the number one running group in the entire league right now. Now that Kareem Hunt left the Browns, and now Nick Chubb's all alone, which is fine by me. Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook are probably the greatest 1-2 punch in the league. I mean, they probably by midseason at least will be looked at that way.
Yeah.
Literally, and they have good receivers. Alan Lazard's fine. Garrett Wilson's great up and coming. Literally, they're only missing one thing, and that's you know what Rodgers was there for. So
exactly.
I can't sit there and say that the Jets season's over because it's not. I mean, this team could still find a way to win.
They were in it last year with three different quarterbacks. Yeah. So, you know, you could still like, but you're going to need a lot of help there, I think, in the offensive side. So let's move on to final one tight end. Hunter Henry is my guy right now. He is the number one tight end in the NFL with 11.2 yards per reception. 16.6 against the Eagles defense. Can Hunter Henry resurge to be back that Chargers style Hunter Henry and finish top five in the tight ends this year?
No, it's not going to happen. That's all I got to say about that.
No, it's not going to be top five because you've got some other weapons there. You've got some guys that were injured, which is why Kendrick Bourne had a really good game. I think that while we all view Juju Smith-Schuster as an amazing blocker, I don't think they're going to use him as just strictly a blocker the entire year. And so they do have some other weapons there. They're going to be probably using a little bit more of Mike Gesicki. And so top five, no, that's probably not going to happen. I think the ceiling for Hunter Henry would be more like top 7 to 10, between that seven and ten range. Yeah.
I'll give him top 10.
I'll do that. Yeah. I'm in that.
Which is good. Like if you drafted that fucker at like tight end, you know, or ADP 150 or whatever the hell
he would have been 140. Henry,
you still got 10? Good value on that. So good for you. But no, it's not going to happen in the top five.
Cool. That's our little game for fantasy football. We'll have another fantasy segment. Let us know what you guys are thinking over reaction. Underreaction appropriate on those names in the comments below. Like, subscribe, of course, and help the channel out. All right, let's get into it, guys. Easy money bet of the week. You want to say it for us, Jason?
Easy money bet of the week.
That's right. Week one down. Good thing is we only had one loss for between the three of us. So we had JG. He finished out 50% on his easy money bets. He had the Chiefs -4.5 for Thursday, loss, but the Browns came through with that +2.5, that big victory on that one. The Jags did get that -4.5, kind of looking grimsome towards the fourth quarter there, but Lawrence prevailed there, got that dub there. Mine was interesting. So I had the Philly Pats at under 45, got the void. It was right at 45. Utah -7.5. By the way, the one that JG was ripping me on, void. They finished, or sorry, I had -7.5. They finished. Oh, okay. So I got that loss then. So I didn't catch it on my lawn. So there we go. Two losses on my -7.5. And then they finished right at 7. Comeback, 2-touchdown comeback in the fourth quarter versus Baylor, which whatever the hell that was. Herbert over 8.5 reception yards. Of course, we got that dub on that. As a total percentage, Sports Buffoons total percentage, we are sitting at 60% wins for you right now. Now we're entering week 2.
Wow.
Let's see what happens.
That's amazing.
JG, as always, we'll kick off with you. What do you got?
I was just blown away by that 60% shit. I mean, if we can do that the entire season, then
right?
You guys are all professionals. Anybody listening to this show, I'm going to start out with the Seattle at Detroit game. Detroit is -5.5 here. As you guys know that listen to the show, I did have Seattle actually winning the division this year. And I think that was kind of, they laid an egg against the Rams. But at the same time, they're going up against a Detroit Lions team who is super high on life right now. They just beat the Chiefs, Super Bowl champions. And so I think you're going to see a situation where both of those teams revert back to the mean at the same time. And I'm going to take Seattle here to easily cover that 5.5. Tanner, if you could you look up that money line for me? Because I'd be very tempted to take that money line here. I think Seattle is going to probably win this game because Detroit is just, they're out of their minds right now. I don't see there's any way, even though they're playing at home, I think Detroit is going to totally lay an egg.
Seahawks +195 on DraftKings. Best bet.
Okay. So I'd probably take the money line.
Are you going money line or spread?
Well, I've got to get my percentages up, right? Because correct. I was pretty shitty last year. So let's just take the cover at this point.
-5 or +5.5.
Yep.
For JG. All right, Mike, what do you got for your easy money bet?
Well, I got a couple of fun stats for you guys out there. You guys that are all about trends. I'm into trends. I like to watch the trends and see what's going on in the betting world and sports betting. So this past weekend, we saw the against the spread away teams were 12-4 this past weekend. So somehow away teams were badass. In fact, they were 10-6 overall, but 12-4 against the spread. But also the unders were 12 wins to 4 losses. So lots of crazy stuff. We had a lot of away teams winning. We have a lot of unders as well at the same time. I like that quite a bit. I think that's a lot of fun, but I'm not doing that this week for me. So my favorite bet right now for this week is the Jets and Cowboys game. The over-under, 38.5. It's sitting just a little low for me. So I'm going to go ahead and take the over on that game as my pick of the week. I think we're underestimating kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, we're worried about the Cowboys and what they're capable of, worried that the Jets don't have enough quarterback firepower to get the points up, stuff like that. So we're having this kind of at this point, fighting dilemma of the Cowboys have a great offense, put up 40 points. The Jets have a shit quarterback now, and they can't put up any points at all. 38.5, we can find a way to muster up some points along the way. Dak Prescott's probably due for a pick six at some point. Sauce Gardner still exists.
He's still around.
So 38.5 on the over for me is my number one pick of the week when it comes to your easy money pick of the week.
All right. Guys, I got 3 for you right here. We got Dallas. So going back to that Dallas game here, -9. I'm taking the -9 on Dallas. I think like Sam Darnold in the Jets uniform, Mr. Wilson sees ghost coming at him. We saw what Dallas did to the Giants last weekend, and I think you're going to see a pretty similar situation. That O-line is not pretty.
Are you thinking like a Cowboys 35, maybe? I'm saying that because
I'm thinking,
the edge rushers for the Cowboys are amazing.
Yeah.
Between we got correct. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons going up against who we know is a scaredy cat, Mr. Zach Wilson, mistakes will be made.
It will be made. I'm thinking you're going to see a couple of defensive points as a couple of fumbles and pick six receptions.
I can see it on both ends.
I'm looking at a score. I think you got the over. I like the over in this. I'm thinking the Dallas at least puts up 28-30. But I don't want to do the over under on that part just because of the way the NFL trends have
been. Jets will give you at least 17.
I think Jets will give you at least 10 or 14. So I think, I think -9 for Dallas is my easy money bet. I got a player prop bet, Addison over 39.5 receiving yards for tomorrow night. I like Addison. He got a lot of work with Kirk last week against the Bucs defense, which is a good defense. Now you're going against a defense in Philadelphia that Mac Jones was able to get people the ball. So
and just to be transparent, I guess, since we're just talking about betting right now, I have two open bets right now. Actually, I have three, but I have two open bets right now that I want to talk about. I have Devontae Smith, anytime touchdown score, going against the Vikings. I like him a lot to get open. Great route runner, and guy is just getting better and better as time goes on. And I love Devontae Smith. He's a great player. And then Jalen Hurts, alternate passing yards, +200. Easy. So for me, that'll double my money on that one. But then the other one I got is anytime touchdown score for Devontae Smith plus Justin Jefferson, anytime touchdown score. That'll pay me on a $5 wager about $40.
Hey, take
good
it.
Deal right there. A $5 wager.
There's a good wagers there.
And then I got one free bet I used, by the way, guys, on Dallas Goedert. It's a free bet for $9. It'll pay $111. He's the first touchdown scorer.
Well, what happened?
Give me that first touchdown, Dallas Goedert.
What happened to Zach Ertz? Is he not still on that fucking?
He doesn't exist anymore.
Shit, he retired. He must have retired, didn't he?
So, anyways, I got three bets so far for him.
What happened to Zach Ertz? Damn it,
he's down in Arizona getting his tan on.
He used to be good.
And then all right. Finally, actually, Mike and Mr. Hammett might like this bet here for our college bet of the week here. K-State -4.5 against Mizzou this weekend. K-State is a pretty high powered team.
That's wild, man.
They've only allowed 13 points.
Hold on. You're saying K-State -4.5.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yes, I totally agree.
K-State has allowed only 13 points, and that was last week to Troy. They allowed 13 points. That's it.
$20 in my account right now on DraftKings. I'm going to plug it on K-State.
There you go.
To cover that.
-4.5. K-State takes out Mizzou. Mizzou barely squeaked over that dub last week. It's not a pretty sight.
K-State is
they're freaking good.
Just probably as good as last year.
Yeah.
Or at least close to it.
They're pretty solid. So that's what we got. So JG's got Seahawks +5.5. Mike's got Dallas Jets over 38.5. Yeah. I got Dallas -9. Addison over 39.5 receiving yards. And K-State -4.5. Lock it up. Let's get this week two going. Any final bets you guys want to throw out there?
Nah, I agree. I like that last one you said about my favorite college bet of all time is one Tanner just said.
I figured you like that.
He's finally going to get one right.
I better get this one right.
You're going to get that
one. I'm betting purple here.
We better get this crap right. I'm literally going to put money on that when we get off the show.
Hey, guys, you can also catch Wednesdays before the show, 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central. I'm on a betting show with Matt Larris and Scott Cobb. Let's talk bets. We talk over the days as well. So getting prep for this easy money bet as I'm getting ready for it. So make sure you guys get out. Hey, let us know what your bets are, what you're putting in for this weekend. We want to see it in the comments. Make sure you like and subscribe. Guys, happy week two. Enjoy it. Happy week three in college world.
Hey, I'm excited because for me, this whole weekend, I'm kind of a free man in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm a free man because you know, last week I was busy. First of all,
you were slammed last week.
Last weekend, I had my parents in towns, which are great. I love them. But I also had Sunday, which was all NASCAR. So I missed a lot of stuff in week one.
Yes.
I missed a lot of NFL week one. I didn't get to watch the games really. This week I get to do that. So I'm excited for that. This week I have college football. I'm going to get to watch pretty much all day, all night. Sunday, I'm going to wake up, literally do the exact same goddamn thing. Because that's what I do this time of year. That's what I'm all about, you guys.
It's the right time of year.
People are going to be like, man, you need to find new hobbies. I'm like, nah, I love this stuff, man. This is what I'm all about.
We got Stephen Joe before we get out of here, guys. Stephen Joe's commenting. He said, offered Walker and Mike Evans, and he would give away Gibbs and Rashawn Johnson. What do you think? Half PPR. So Kenneth Walker, Mike Evans for Gibbs and Rashawn, giving away Gibbs and Rashawn Johnson. Do we want Walker and Evans? Or do we want Gibbs and Rashawn Johnson?
So here's the thing. I'm a big fan of Rashawn Johnson.
He did massive this week.
He did massive this week, but he's also legit.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that's well known. I dropped him for a second in our league, picked him right back up as soon as I could because I was making some adjustments throughout the week in my team. But so he offered, so here, Kenneth Walker and Mike Evans give away Jahmyr Gibbs and Roshan Johnson. What do you think? Half PPR. Okay.
So half point per reception, I'd probably just keep Gibbs and Roshan Johnson with you.
That's tough. I'm not as big on Kenneth Walker as some of you guys could be. I'm not a big Kenneth Walker fan personally. He's not ever been my guy. Not a guy I've really cared for. Mike Evans, of course, someone I rely on is consistent. Consistent. You know what you're going to get every year at least. But Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, you got a lot of upside there at running back.
I wouldn't go for the trade.
Yeah, I would just probably say no deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for
it. It is a good offer.
It's not a bad one. No,
the offer itself is fine. I have no problem with the offer. It's not like it's lopsided. I think if I had Jahmyr Gibbs and Roshan Johnson, I just stick with what I got as long as I like the receivers I got. If I have no receivers, then I consider the deal because Mike Evans gives me some stability.
But you also got to remember Mike Evans likes to have these back injuries towards the end of the season, which really kind of kills some fantasy owners. So if you have Gibbs and Roshan Johnson, you're able to rotate in case you have any kind of running back injuries. So
yeah, I think the right move is to stick with your Gibbs and Roshan Johnson.
Yeah.
Roshan Johnson is legit, by the way. So that's why I'm saying that he is a great running back. You will see more as time goes on.
Tanner, you act like you're in a big hurry to get out of here. Did we not want to talk about smoking and getting high and talking about grass?
Did you forget about that?
You did. Of course you did.
I did.
Because that's the most important thing that you should be talking about.
I think Tanner only ever smoked grass one time in his life. And
D-Ford was offside.
And then he got in trouble, and then that was the end of the
day. D-Ford was offside. I'll never do it again.
Right. That was a rough day, man. That was a rough night for you, man.
Went out. He went offside.
Did we go to Jerry's bait shop after that?
Yeah.
You were high at Jerry's bait shop.
We were trying to drown our sorrows. I slipped on ice. D Fort was offsides. It was a rough day.
I'm just going to ask you guys a question, right? Because I'm not going to drag this out.
Yeah,
I just want you guys to have a debate real quick. So NFLPA calls for grass in all stadiums. Right? They're calling for that right now.
They did that last year too.
Post Aaron Rodgers injury. So my question to you guys is, why would they want to change all of the fields to grass after a white quarterback and Aaron Rodgers gets injured versus a black running back and J.K. Dobbins that he tore his Achilles? They had the same fucking injury. So J.K. Dobbins tears his Achilles on grass and nobody gives a shit. Meanwhile, a white quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who's a superstar, tears his Achilles on turf. And now all of a sudden it's a big deal. Please tell me,
Jason,
tell me the difference between those two fucking injuries.
This has been going on for more than just an Aaron Rodgers injury.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know if you're aware of it. Talking about Arizona, we talked about many other injuries. St. Louis was one for a long time.
Yeah.
This is not as much as you're trying to make this around color. It's not color.
No. I never said anything about that.
Well, I mean, if you're indicating a white,
I never said it. No,
you're pretty much indicating color into that because those are colors.
All I said is, why do we not give a shit until something happens to Aaron Rodgers? That's the question.
No, why do we not give a shit? In April, they released studies from 2012 to 2022 arguing a significant increase in non-contact injuries on artificial surfaces for grass. There is stuff being started. You know who's not wanting to change it? You know why they have to go through these 10 years of studies? Because it's the damn owners of these stadiums. They don't want to put out the money to take care of grass. That's why they have turf.
Do you understand that Aaron Rodgers' coach, Robert Saleh, stated that it was not a non-contact injury?
Correct.
Which means the turf had nothing to fucking do with it.
That means they won't count it towards the study.
Nothing to fucking do with it.
They won't count towards the study.
So why does the NFLPA come out with this shit where they want to change every fucking field in the NFL?
Because they've been trying to do this for 10 years now. Ever since, actually more, less than that, it's been 6 years they've been trying to do it.
Why do they care? I mean, is it because of Aaron Rodgers? I mean, no, is that what it is?
It's not because of damn Aaron Rodgers.
And it is because of Aaron Rodgers.
It's not because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Because nobody gave a shit.
Mike, could you please help me?
Nobody gave a shit.
Can you just hop in here?
All I want to say about the whole thing is that this injury Aaron Rodgers sustained had nothing to do with the damn field conditions.
Yes, thank you.
That's all I want to say
about this. Thank
you. Is that the old man was going to do the thing he did regardless. Maybe it was not going to be snap number 4, but it was going to be snap number 8. I don't know. Depending on the field turf, but it was going to happen at some point in that game.
It was snap 5.
But are we? Do we really think?
All I'm saying is,
do we really?
Nothing to do with the damn turf.
Exactly.
Yet we want to make it a big old TJ Lang wants to get on Twitter and throw a fucking fit. Get the fuck over it. And it's also has nothing to do with the field conditions. His injury, he sustained.
Correct.
Particularly, his injury had nothing to do with the field.
No, it didn't. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers did. I'm saying that there's studies going on about it, and that turf is seeing more significant non-contact injuries than grass.
Cool. This was not a non-contact.
No, it wasn't. I don't know why we're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Why does it even matter? What's the point?
My point is, why do we care more about superstar quarterbacks than we do about running backs? That's my point.
Well, I don't know.
Just tore his fucking Achilles.
Go ask Austin Eckler and why he can't get a damn contract with the damn Chargers.
J.K. Dobbins.
Go ask Saquon Barkley why Daniel Jones got paid and not him.
J.K. Dobbins tore his fucking Achilles in the same fucking week as Aaron Rodgers. Nobody gave a shit. On grass. He did that shit on grass. Nobody gave a shit. Why is it different?
You're not going to cut out all the injuries. You're not going to cut out all the injuries, by the way.
Then, okay.
But you're going to, you can
then
cut out.
Play on turf.
If you can cut out 40% of injuries, go play on grass. That's 40%
less. 40%.
Okay.
You could take care of 40% of
Let's look here.
So that's why I would. Grass. Okay.
Let's look here.
So he just voted for 40% turf stadiums and 60% grass stadiums. In effect, that's what you just did, Tanner.
Hold on. Trying to find my percentages again.
It's bullshit.
Why is it bullshit?
Because it takes a superstar quarterback.
Oh, God, I'm done with this.
To change a rule. That's why it's bullshit.
I mean, Jason's right about what he's saying.
It's bullshit.
It does take
nobody should be talking about this right now.
We talked about this last year and the year before. And the year before, it's been a topic every year in the NFL. Every year in the NFL. It's taken this long to have any kind of
change. But most of the issues we've had in the past were non-contact to, let's say, receivers running routes, running backs making cuts. This happened to be a quarterback in the grasp of a sack who tore his own Achilles because he literally had a foot and he's old.
It's because
non-contact.
Because they're making a big deal because of New York.
It was non-contact and it has nothing to do with the turf.
All
that's
hype.
My problem with this whole fucking thing.
It has nothing to do with the turf. This injury is obsolete for
me. Can the NFLPA just shut the fuck up? That's my point.
You know they're not going to. Either's the NFL. All right, guys.
Racist.
Well, I'm not gonna go there, but
oh man, all right guys, hey, that was a great show. I appreciate you guys. We're gonna get the hell out of here. Guys, make sure you guys enjoy week 3 of college football, week 2 of the NFL, and check us out, of course, right here on the Sports Buffoons next week for more Chiefs content, more fans football content, and more of your easy money bets.
Josh Allen,
money, baby.
Josh Allen is still top 5 quarterback. Outro.
This guy. We'll see
you on the next one.
See you guys.